I'm grateful. Sundown, thank the doc.
He might have reacted a bit sluggishly, but Sundown bowed his head.
Now, Bodine stepped forward. Would you mind taking a look at Callan before you head out, Doc Bickers? When she gestured at Callan's leg, Bickers rolled her eyes to the ceiling.
God's sake! Get off that leg, boy! You there, Chase Longbow, help this idiot into the kitchen so I can see if he needs the damn hospital.
I'm not leaving my horse.
Well, get the idiot something to sit on so I can see what's what.
Chase hauled over a stool, then simply shoved Callan down onto it.
Shut up about it, Chase warned, or I'll stick one of those needles into you myself.
I'd rather a beer.
Bickers shook her head, shoved up her glasses.
Not until I've seen what we have here.
She pried off the boot, and the movement, the friction, drained the blood out of Callan's face. At her sides, Bodine's hands went to tight fists. About 2 inches above his ankle bone, the skin bloomed purple and red around a bloody gash.
Well,
Bickers sniffed, pulling on fresh gloves.
Your boot took the worst of it.
I liked those boots.
Still beyond pissed, Bodine forced her hands to relax, stepped over, and took Callan's. Don't be a baby. You can afford new boots.
Took a little bite out of you, but not enough to do more than hurt like the living fires of hell for a day or two. You want something for the pain? You go see a people doctor. I can treat this topically, and you're going to have your own battle scar. You want it stitched up? You get the people doctor for that. I can do it, but there's no reason. Now suck it up. I'm going to clean and disinfect this, and it's going to add some flames to that hellfire.
Want something to bite on? Callan rolled a sour look up at Bodine.
Yeah.
He pulled her head down, clamped his mouth on hers. When the fire hit, he lost his breath for a minute, but she gripped his jaw in her hand, pressed her lips harder to his.
Almost done here, Bickers told him. You stay off this as much as you can. Don't see you needing a crutch, but find yourself a pair of tennis shoes, a couple of days of that before you try pulling boots over this. It's not near as bad as that sweet horse. Mostly a nick, is all.
Right now, it feels like you jabbed down to the bone with a hot poker.
Yeah, that'll ease up. You're a strong, healthy boy.
Bickers slapped his knee,
and nearly as good-looking as your horse. You can take something over the counter for the pain. You got anything tucked away that's stronger? You tell me beforehand.
I don't.
All right. I'll write all this down for you, leave it, and see you both in the morning.
Thanks.
Bickers nodded, tossed away the gloves.
I'd like to know what kind of sick son of a bitch takes a shot at a sweet horse. I guess he was most likely shooting at you, but he hurt the horse more.
She gathered her bag, nodded at Tate.
Your turn.
The sheriff stepped forward.
You up to talking to me, Cal?
Yeah, but I'd sure like a beer first.
Rory held one out.
Grabbed one for you. I'm supposed to go back, let the others know you and Sundown are okay.
Thanks.
Callan took a long, slow pull.
I'll tell you what I know. Worked a little late, rode home slow. Pretty evening. I figured to give Sundown a run when we came around that first bend on Black Angus. He'd just changed gates. I felt it hit me. Then I heard it. Then he stumbled. I had to keep him going. It hurt him, but we were in the open there, and I didn't know if we were going to get shot again. So I pushed him until we had some cover. I heard an ATV start up and take off.
You're sure about that? A truck? A bike?
I know the difference. An ATV. Probably up on the high trail. He had to wait until we came around that bend for a good shot. So he'd be up there. Or why not take the shot when we were just standing there, or walking? Going into a gallop's probably what threw the shot off. He had to compensate, change angles fast. Likely not much of a shot.
Callan took another long pull on his beer.
As memory serves, Garrett Clintock's not much of a shot. I'd like to know if he owns an ATV. You leave that to me.
Callan pushed the beer at Bodine, got to his feet. Fury turned his eyes into a storm cloud of fiery blue.
You see that horse? I love him like a brother. Some asshole hides up in the trees, tries to ambush me, and shoots my horse? I don't leave that up to anybody. If you go after Garrett, I'll end up having to arrest you for assault. And that'd be after he kicks your ass, because you can't put all your weight on that leg. Do you think if he did this, I'll let it go? I don't. Do you think if he did this, I will?
Tate sighed, rubbed his face.
I'm going to deal with this. Don't do anything stupid.
Because his leg throbbed like a bad tooth, Callan sat again when Tate left.
I'll take care of Clintock for you, Chase said.
He looked at Chase, shook his head.
I know you would, but I have to deal with this myself. Tate's right about getting my ass kicked right now. So I'll just heal up for a couple days. Tate'll have him in jail by then. He's got an ATV.
Callan nodded.
He'll get out, sooner or later. I can wait. Well, I'll get you a bedroll.
Get two, Bodine told her brother before he walked away. Callan looked up at her as Chase walked away.
Are you sleeping out here?
What do you think? He pushed himself up again, pulled her to him.
I don't have it in me to shake you stupid for riding out there that way.
Good. I'd hate to kick your ass under the circumstances. What I will do is go get you the plate I expect Clementine has warming in the oven, and get you another beer. A couple of Motrin.
Four.
Four, she agreed.
Bodine.
As his horse had with him, Callan lowered his head to her shoulder.
Scared the shit out of me.
I know. Just as she knew, he didn't mean getting shot. He meant coming close to losing his horse. I'm going to go get your supper. He let her go, limped back to his horse. He thought how he'd nearly stopped to pick Bodine wildflowers. He wished he had. Chapter 24 Bodine woke, snuggled up against Callan. That, in itself, had become pretty usual. But the fact that they both were pillowed on Sundown's chest added a brand new element. They'd slept better than she'd anticipated, especially since they'd left the lights on in case they'd needed to deal with any medical issues in a hurry. Right now, the stall smelled of hay and horse and antiseptic, and the horse snored. She took that as a good sign as she eased herself away and sat up. She used her phone to check the time. 5:15. No, not bad at all. But her stable companions could use a couple more hours. If it wasn't inside the bedroll, she'd have checked Callan's leg. Instead, she picked her way around, staying hunkered down to carefully examine Sundown's wound. Nasty, she thought, and there'd be some pain when he woke. But the wound looked clean. She laid a careful hand on Sundown's belly. Warm, not hot. After she crab-walked back, she stood, studied them. Unable to resist, she lifted her phone again, took a couple of pictures. She'd print one out, frame it for Callan. Hell, she might even toss one on the website. Thinking of that, and Callan's fancy riding show, she hunkered down again for another angle. A nice companion shot to the one of Callan, arm thrown up and Sundown's forelegs pawing the air.
"Morning,"
Callan mumbled.
"Seriously?"
"Barely. Go back to sleep. He's fine," she said, as Callan sat up. "I checked the wound. No heat. Looks clean. Let me take a look at yours before I go grab a shower."
"It's fine."
"Then let's see." He grumbled about it, but worked himself out of the bedroll. The bruising, Bodine noted, bloomed glorious, but when she unwrapped the bandages, like Sundown's, the wound looked clean. No streaks of red, no troubling heat. "Got some swelling, but no more than expected. Looks like you're both on the mend. And you've both got the day off to keep mending."
"I'm fine. We've got a full plate today."
"Which the rest of us will handle. Getting shot equals a sick day, horse and rider." She tapped her finger against Callan's chest. "I'm the boss of you. You're not going to want to leave him anyway." She sat back on her heels. "I was so pissed off at you."
"For getting shot?"
His fingers raked at his hair.
"Doesn't seem quite equitable."
"For not saying you'd been shot, and for shoving me away once I realized you had."
"I can apologize for that part."
"No need. After I stopped being pissed, which was mostly from being scared brainless, I thought about it. I'd have done exactly the same. We've got that in common, I guess."
"Enough that I'd have been pretty pissed at you if the situation had been reversed."
"So we're good there. Try for some more sleep. I'll bring some coffee out after I get that shower. Then you can grab one of your own and some breakfast. Dad, Chase, Rory, Mom, any of the hands will stay with him while you get cleaned up and fed."
"I know it."
She started to stand, but he tugged her into a kiss.
"I value a woman who'd sleep in a stall with a hurt horse."
"It wouldn't be the first time for me. Unlikely it's the last."
"I value it."
She patted his knee, rose, pulled on her boots. "Stay off that leg." Listening to her boot steps recede, Callan gave Sundown, he knew the horse had waked, a rub.
"Looks like I've crossed into new territory. She puts an ache in me I don't know what to do with."
He glanced down, met Sundown's eyes.
"Hurts some, doesn't it? Well, let's get up easy, you and me, and see how we stand."
Seconds after Bodine shut her door, Alice opened hers. She walked quiet and had a quick flash of the girl she'd been sneaking into the house, or trying to, after curfew. She knew about the hurt horse. Everyone had jumped up, and there'd been shouting and running. It had scared her at first, scared her that Sir had come to take her back, that he'd hurt her because she'd cut her hair and made it red like Grammy's. But it hadn't been Sir. Somebody had been mean to a horse, and she wanted to see it. She liked horses. She could remember riding them and brushing them. She even remembered helping one get born once. She wanted to see the hurt horse, but everybody said she shouldn't worry. Everything was fine. But she wanted to see the hurt horse. So she would. Hard-headed, mile-wide, stubborn streak. For some reason, hearing those words in her head made her giggle. She had to slap a hand over her mouth to muffle the sound as she crept down the back stairs. And she knew. She remembered where the creaky ones were. Oh my gosh, she remembered. Tears swam into her eyes as she navigated around them. She hadn't been outside yet. Not once. She hadn't even gone into the mud room because she knew a door there led to outside. Her stomach hurt. Her bad leg hurt. Her head hurt. She should make tea instead. Some nice tea and go work on her scarf. No. 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 Don't be a scaredy cat. Don't be a scaredy cat. Don't be a scaredy cat. She couldn't stop saying the words, over and over. Even when she put her hand over her mouth again, they just kept running out of her. When she pushed open the door, she flashed straight back to pushing open the door in the house Sir provided. Now her head swam, so she had to brace a hand on the door jamb. The air blew over her face. Cool. Sweet. As she had weeks before, she stepped out. Stars. So many stars. A world full of stars. She circled under them, arms held high. She remembered dancing. Had she danced under a world of stars? There was the big barn, and there the bunkhouse, and there the stables, and there the chicken coop. Oh, and there's where Ma planted her kitchen garden. There was the sister garden. She remembered. She remembered. But when the dogs Bodine had let out came running, she froze. They didn't bite. They didn't growl and lunge. They wagged and pranced and rubbed up against her legs. They liked to sleep at her feet while she made scarves. Being outside didn't mean they'd bite. "You're good dogs," she whispered. "Not mean. I know you. You're Chester and you're Clyde. You come in the house and sleep when I work on my scarf. We're going to go see the horse." She walked to the stables under a world of stars with the good dogs running in happy circles. She tried to open the door quiet, mouse quiet. She knew the smells here. Nothing scary, nothing mean. Horses and hay and manure, saddle soap and linseed oil, grain and apples. She walked mouse quiet, too, on her house slippers, creeping along in the flannel pajamas she liked so much. So soft. A voice made her stop again, push a hand to her heart when it beat hard.
"You're going to take your medicine and no whining. No use giving me that sad look, either. I'm going to take mine. You see me whining and looking pitiful? Fine. I'll take mine first."
She crept down a little more, saw the man. The man who came to the house sometimes to Sunday dinner, to breakfast. Sometimes. She'd seen him kiss Bodine, and Bodine didn't seem to mind at all. But if the man made her feel a little afraid, the horse... Oh, the horse was so beautiful. And the beautiful horse propped his beautiful head on the man's shoulder.
"I know it hurts."
The man's voice said kindness, said love, said the opposite of anything mean.
"You didn't hurt the horse."
The man turned around, one hand still stroking the horse's neck. He had a scruffed-up face and tired eyes, and his hair was all tousled.
"No, ma'am. I'd never hurt him."
"Who did?"
"I don't know for sure. Are you cold, Miss Alice? You want my jacket?"
He shrugged it off, stepped forward. She'd started to step back, step away, but saw he limped a little.
"I limp, too. Did somebody chain you up?"
"No. I got a little hurt when Sundown did."
"This is Sundown."
"Sundown, this is Miss Alice Bodine."
To Alice's delight and to Callan's ridiculous pride, Sundown bent his forelegs into a bow.
"He's so pretty."
"You sure think so? You can pet him. He really likes being petted by a pretty woman."
"I used to be pretty. I got old,
Bodine cut my hair and made it nice again.
Did she?
More pride. It looks real fine. A lot like Miss Fancy's.
He kept talking as she edged closer, lifted a hand to stroke Sundown's cheek.
You know, I'm pretty sweet on Miss Fancy.
Alice laughed, a little high, a little rusty.
She's even older than me.
It doesn't matter a bit.
Sundown, Alice murmured. Your name is Sundown. I like to watch the sun go down. It makes the sky so beautiful, like magic. I like horses. I remember. Things get so mixed up in my head, but I remember I like horses. I like riding them, riding fast. I'd be a movie star and have a ranch in the Hollywood Hills. I'd shop on Rodeo Drive.
Here, let's put this on.
She didn't jerk away when he helped her into his jacket.
Maybe when he's better, you'd like to ride Sundown.
She pressed her hand to her lips, her eyes wide and full of wonder.
I could?
When he's better? The doctor needs to tell us when, but you could ride him when she says he can.
I might not remember how.
That's okay. I teach people how. Me and Sundown here. You can think about it.
I can think about it. Nobody can stop me. I can think about it.
Where did he get hurt?
Right along his belly. See here?
She let out a gasp. And whether or not she remembered how to ride, showed Callan she remembered how to move and act around horses. She crouched, one hand soothing Sundown's flank as she studied the wound.
That's mean.
It's mean. I know about mean. About mean that chains you up and hits with fists and whips with belts. This is mean that way.
He'll have a scar.
I have scars.
I'm sorry. She crooned it as she straightened, moved back to Sundown's head, stroked.
I'm so sorry somebody hurt you. Somebody mean.
When Sundown rested his chin on her shoulder, she closed her eyes a moment. Opening them, she looked directly into Callan's.
You're not mean. I know mean. I know there's meaner than you ever think. But I don't remember you. I wasn't around when you were.
I went away.
I did that too, when I was about the same age you were when you did.
Tilting her head, she gave him a longer stare and kept stroking Sundown.
Where did you go?
You know, it's funny. I went to California, just like you did. I ended up in Hollywood.
She gasped again, and something lit up in her eyes.
Were you a movie star? You're handsome.
No, ma'am, but I worked in the movies some. I worked with the horses in movies.
There was something young and wondering in her sigh.
Was it wonderful?
I liked it.
But you came back.
I missed this place. The ranch. The people. I've got a mother and a sister, and they needed me around more than I wanted to think when I left.
I missed the ranch. My family.
I was coming back. Nobody stopped you when you came back. No. I'm real sorry somebody stopped you. I got old there, she told him. Old and weak and crazy. Miss Alice? That's not what I see when I look at you. Not what I'm hearing having this conversation with you.
Conversation, she said slowly.
We're having a conversation.
What I see? What I hear is somebody hurt, but strong over that. Just like Sundown. Strong and smart and good. Just hurt some. I'm not scared of you. He tried a grin on her.
I'm not scared of you either.
She laughed a little, pleasing him. I feel more like Alice with my hair cut and red like Grammy's. I feel more like Alice with Sundown. If, when he's better, I can ride Sundown, but I can't remember how, will you help me?
That's a promise. Maybe you could do me a favor back?
I can't do much yet. I can make you a scarf. Your eyes are gray and they're blue, gray and blue all at once. Maybe Ma has yarn like that, and I can make you a scarf.
That'd be nice. But I was wondering if you'd help me with Sundown for a minute here. He needs to take some medicine, and he doesn't want to. He needs it to get better and stop hurting. Maybe you could talk to him for me.
He caught the look Sundown gave him, one that clearly accused Callan of being sneaky. Callan just smiled back.
If anyone claimed that horse didn't understand every damn word said, Callan would call them unimaginative at best, a liar at worst.
Dressed for the day, Bodine carried a thermos of black coffee toward the stables. She'd already addressed Callan's schedule, texted Easy, who'd had the day off, to ask him to fill in. Done. Texted Maddie to take one of Callan's lessons. She'd have to cancel Sundown's show when she got in and was working on something fun to replace it, but everything else she'd covered. The ranch hands would be stirring in the bunkhouse as her father and brothers were in the main house. Clementine, she imagined, would drive up any minute. Another day would begin. She hoped Garrett Clintock's day, because she joined with Callan there on who'd taken that shot, began behind bars. She nearly tripped over her own feet when she saw Alice walking toward her in the pearly dawn light. Alice? Alice, what are you doing out here? Wearing Callan's jacket, she noted. I went to see the horse. He's hurt. And the man, I can't remember his name. Callan. I'm Cal, he said. He got hurt, too. I helped him give Sundown his medicine, and we had a conversation. He's going to help me ride Sundown when Sundown's better. Somebody was so mean. 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 I hate mean. You can get used to it. I got used to it, but now I hate it. There were stars. They're gone now. The sun's coming up. Bodine gestured east. See? The sun's coming up. I like it. The men are coming out. Recognizing the jolt of panic, Bodine put a hand on Alice's arm. They're not mean. How do you know? Alice hissed. Sir didn't look mean when I got in the truck. How do you know? Because I know them. Every one of them. I know they'd all protect you from the mean. You remember Heck, don't you? He'd never be mean. I think it's all right. It's already a lot before sunrise. I'm going to make Cal a scarf. I like his eyes. Are they blue? Are they gray? Are they blue? Are they gray? It's fun. I'm going to tell Dr. Minow I went outside. She'll be surprised. Maybe when I get home from work today, you can walk over and visit Sundown and Callan with me. You can meet my horse, too. He's Leo. I want to. If I don't feel crazy again. Fair enough. Bodine continued toward the stables and decided she owed Callan more than a day off. Word spread,
While she hadn't expected otherwise, Bodine hoped to eke out the information rather than tamp out firestorms everywhere the minute she got to work. Sal leaped at her, literally, the second she stepped into the lobby.
"Is it true? Nobody's here but me," she said quickly. "I heard it from Tess at Zentown. Zeke texted her about it last night."
Zeke, ranch hand, brother to Tess, massage provider.
God.
"It's true. Callan and Sundown were both grazed by a bullet. We don't know if it was intentional. Sheriff Tate's looking into it." Sal fisted both hands on her hips.
"It's me, Bo, and I know when you're hedging."
"I'd like to keep it to that officially, and away from the guests, so please say that if and when you're asked."
"What's going on around here, Bo? Billie Jean's killed, and that other girl? Now this? Oh, my God. Is it connected? Is it all..."
"No. I can't see that. That's not hedging."
"But your aunt..."
"Sal, God's truth, I don't see how one thing links to another."
"They still don't know who killed Billie Jean."
Just saying it had Sal's eyes going damp.
"Nobody even talks about it anymore. Hardly at all."
"We haven't forgotten her. You know that. What happened yesterday, it was something else. Just mean stupidity."
"You know who?"
"I think who, and that's different." "I didn't even ask if Cal's all right." Sal rubbed her eyes.
"And that horse? Everybody loves that horse."
"They're healing up."
"Good. Okay. How about if I do a pool, come up with some silly get-well gift from everybody?"
"I think that would be a great idea." She'd barely settled behind her desk, trying to formulate a replacement for Sundown's performance, when Chelsea and Jessica came in together.
"I swear men talk more than women.
Rory told you, Chase told you." Jessica had enough presence of mind to shut the door.
"They got shot?"
"They did, but it's the classic flesh wound. I'm not going to minimize it," she added quickly. "It scared the crap out of all of us, and a few inches different, it'd be more than scared. But they're both going to be okay." "I'm not sure I can block Callan from coming to work tomorrow the way I did today."
"Rory said Garrett Clintock did it."
Bodine raised her eyebrows at Chelsea. "Rory needs to be careful accusing anybody."
"And so does Chase," Jessica put in. "I've never seen him like that. So angry. So cold. Hard angry."
"And he had plenty to say about Clintock going after Cal now, and back when they were boys." "Let's keep that opinion, which I completely share, from running all over the resort."
"Is Sundown really okay? I mean, Cal, too," Chelsea qualified. "It's just..."
"I know. And he is. He's hurt, but he's healing. It's going to be a little while before he can come back to work here, which is another problem. I need to come up with something to replace his show. I know that's part of the weekend agenda."
"Hell."
Jessica tapped a finger to her temple. "Went straight out of my head. We can just say the horse isn't well. I can come up with something. Let me think about replacing that program."
"Actually, I was thinking..."
Jessica put an arm around Chelsea's waist. "Didn't I tell you? This girl's always thinking. Let's hear it."
"Well, Carol does barrel racing. Easy and Ben have both done rodeoing. It'd be a scramble for today, but I bet they can put something together."
"That's good. Chase does some fancy rope work."
"He does?"
Bodine smiled at Jessica. "I'm surprised he hasn't lassoed you yet. He'll make excuses, but I'll have Mom put the pressure on there, if the others agree. And we've got Thad at the ranch who's done the rodeo. We can put together an hour to fill the gap. Keep your family reunion happy. I'll head down to the BAC, lay out the plan."
"You've got a meeting in 5 minutes," Chelsea reminded Jessica. "And you wanted to talk to the kitchen about today's lunch? I'll run down. I can have the program written up in about an hour."
"Don't ever leave me,"
Jessica told her. Jessica's faith in her always gave Chelsea a boost. She loved the work, the people, the place, and really loved having someone she admired give her opportunities to create, even take charge. Still formulating how to pitch the alternate program, she drove to the BAC. If time wasn't so tight, she'd have loved the walk. To her mind, nothing beat spring in Montana. Halfway there, one of the maintenance trucks hailed her. The driver leaned out.
"I heard somebody shot Cal Skinner's horse right out from under him."
Chelsea repeated the basic line Bodine had given her before she'd left the office. "They're okay. Somebody was shooting, and they were both grazed, but they're okay."
"I heard that horse had to be put down."
"Oh, no. The vet already fixed him up. He just needs a couple days off." The guy, what was his name? Vance, gave her a beady eye.
"You sure about that, girl?"
"I talked to Rory and to Bodine just a minute ago. We're even doing a donation pool to get Sundown a get-well gift."
"Who's got that going? Sal?"
"That's right."
"I'll put my money in that. Damn good horse. People oughtn't to go around shooting unless they know what the hell they're aiming at. Bunch of greenhorn dentists from back east. Bet that's what it was. You have a good one, girl."
"You too." She drove on, wishing it had been some greenhorn. But Rory, spitting mad, had been sure about Clintock, and sure it had been deliberate. As upsetting as it was, she didn't see Rory being that wrong. She pulled up, saw Easy leading a couple of horses to the near paddock. "Hey, Easy."
"Hey there, Chelsea."
"Is Ben around?"
"Just went in to get us a couple cokes."
"How about Carol?"
"Early trail ride. She'll be back in..."
He looked up, squinted, gauged the angle of the sun.
"Oh, about a half hour, maybe. Something I can do for you?"
"Yeah, actually. You, Ben, Carol, we need to replace Sundown and Cal's program this afternoon."
"Cal take sick? Got a text from the big boss asking if I'd come in today. Just figured we were extra busy."
"You haven't heard?" He tethered the horses, turning.
"Heard what?"
"Well, you're going to hear, and the story's getting bigger, so it's better to hear it straight. Somebody was up in the woods above Black Angus Road yesterday and took a shot. Cal and Sundown were both hit."
"What?"
He grabbed her arm.
"Shot?"
"Wait, I should have said grazed. Both of them were grazed, and they're going to be fine."
"Jesus H. Christ. How bad? Cal's a damn good boss, and that horse is something special."
"Grazed Cal's leg, Sundown's belly." Easy's face hardened.
"It was that damn deputy."
He'd released her arm, and now Chelsea took his. "Why do you say that?"
"I was right here when he came after Cal the one time. Went at him hard, too. And I saw him riding around on an ATV yesterday when I was bringing in a trail ride. Out of uniform-like, but I knew who he was. Didn't see he had any business on resort property, but I had guests in line and couldn't go after him to say so."
"You saw him?" Chelsea repeated. "On property? On an ATV?"
"I did. About 4, I'd say. Right around then."
"You might need to tell the sheriff."
"I sure as hell will, if it means anything."
"And maybe nobody else right now? Bodine wants to keep it from getting, well, too hot."
"I'm feeling pretty hot. That's bushwhacking. Shooting a horse,"
Easy muttered, stroking the bay mare.
"What kind of son of a bitch does that?"
"A heartless one, I think." He looked back at her.
"Me too."
"I've got to get back,
But we could really use your help this afternoon.
You got it. I'm mad enough to spit.
The program? She began, explaining what they had in mind.
It'll be fun. We'll put that together, you bet. I'll talk to Ben and Carol. I don't know Chase so much, or this other one.
We've got that. If you could figure out what you'd do, who goes when, that kind of thing, and if there's anything you'd need. If you could do that by noon, I think we could pull this off.
Then that's what we'll do. I'm right pleased to be part of it.
Great. I've got to get back and start working on it.
He looked over as Ben came running, shouting as he did.
Holy shit! Holy shit, somebody shot Cal in Sundown!
Easy tipped his hat back.
Go on ahead. I'll tell him.
Not about Clintock, okay?
Not yet.
Easy winked, put a finger to his lips. He admired the way she looked walking away. Ben shifted to the breathless Ben.
Hold on, Ben. I've got the full story.
Chapter 25. Easy puzzled on what to do. He'd never had so much on his plate at one time and, along with Ben, was almost, sort of, in charge of things. He had to load up the horses for the lesson down at the center, cull out more for another trail ride, and figure out how to put on a show. He liked the show part of things, the fun of it, the being back in front of people like during his rodeo time. And he had to think about Cal. He sure liked Cal. There was a man who knew horses and men and how to keep things running smooth. Somebody had shot at his boss, and that was bad enough, but that somebody had shot at a damn fine horse, too, and that couldn't be borne. The fact he'd likely seen that somebody, knew that somebody, made him proud, and made him plenty nervous along with it. That pretty Chelsea said he needed to talk to the sheriff about it, and Ben said just the same. So he guessed he had to do that. He just didn't know how to go about it, especially with all the work and the show. He sure didn't know how to go about being in charge. He didn't know whether to feel relief or worry when Chase Longbow rode up, leading a second horse. Ben took the lead there, rushing right up before Chase had so much as dismounted.
Have you seen Cal? Cal's really okay? How's Sundown?
They're both doing fine. Doc Bickers was giving them both another look when I left. Word is, you boys have your hands full here, and my sisters signed us up for some damn show later today. I can give you a hand for now, and Thad and Zeke will be along later.
You going to do some fancy rope tricks?
Chase patted the rope coiled over his saddlebag.
Looks like. When's the next trail ride?
Carol's out now, Easy told him. She'll be back any minute. I'm signed for the next one, 10 o'clock. Maddie's giving a lesson down at the center, so we need to load up two horses for that.
Well, let's get to it.
Wait. Wait. Tell him, Easy,
Ben insisted.
You gotta tell Chase about Clintock.
Chase's eyes went from friendly to hard, like an ice ball hard, and had Easy gulping down spit.
What about Clintock?
Easy saw him, Chase. Saw him riding on his ATV yesterday.
Chase walked the horses over to loop reins around a post, turned.
When? Where?
It was...
Let him tell me.
Clamping his lips, Ben gave Easy an elbow poke.
Well, you see, I had a group out on the trail, and I saw him, that deputy, over on the Bear Paw Road. I was leading the group down the Elk Trail when he went by below.
When?
Had to be about 4.
You're sure it was him? Sure it was Clintock?
Yeah, I'm sure on it. He had goggles on, but wasn't wearing a helmet. He came around here once going hard at Cal, so I recognized him right off.
How about the group you were with?
Did any of them see him?
Well, yeah, they had to.
Easy paused, scratched at the back of his neck, adjusted his hat.
The lady right behind me even said something about riding the ATV and not wearing a helmet. Asked weren't they required, 'cause her son signed up to ride on the ghost town trip tomorrow. Well, today. That would be now, as this was yesterday we were talking.
Do you remember her name?
No, not right off. But they were all with that big group that's here. That big family group that's keeping us all hopping.
Okay. Hold on a minute.
Here comes Carol and her group, Ben said.
You go on. Give her a hand with them, Ben. You hold on here, Easy.
Chase pulled out his phone.
Bodine, I need you to see who Easy had out on the trail yesterday about 4. Just look it up. Tell me if that group's still here. Do I sound like I care how busy you are?
Easy shifted his feet, cleared his throat, looked longingly at Ben and Carol.
All right,
Chase said after a minute.
We're going to have to shift around Easy's schedule some.
Shut up a damn minute, he snapped. He saw Clintock on an ATV yesterday afternoon, riding on Bear Paw. That's what I said. You track down that group of people. Just get a handle on where they might be. I'll take care of this. Well, Jesus, Bo, of course we're calling Tate. I'll let you know.
We sure got a lot to do around here,
Easy began when Chase lowered his phone.
That's right. And now, you're calling Sheriff Tate. If he can't come here and talk to you, you're going to go to him. We'll cover you.
Holy cow, Easy said under his breath. Do I call the 911?
No need.
Chase scrolled through his phone for Tate's contact number he'd added in after Billie Jean's murder.
Use mine.
I don't know what to say or how to say it right. I never did this before.
Tell him who you are and what you told me.
Okay.
Easy let out a breath, tapped the contact.
Sheriff Tate? This is Easy. That's Esau LaFoy. I work with the horses at the Bodine Resort. Chase, Mr. Longbow said I needed to call you up, tell you what I told him just now.
Before he'd finished, Bodine drove up in one of the little cars. Easy's palms were damp by the time he handed the phone back to Chase.
You're sure?
Bodine asked without preamble.
Yes, ma'am. I surely am. The sheriff's coming to talk to me. Says I should stay put here until he does, but I've got a trail ride and we'll cover you.
The group with you saw him too?
Had to. I held them up for a minute. Well, not half a minute, I guess, while he rode by below.
She nodded, looked at her brother. Her eyes weren't ice ball hard, Easy noted. They were fireball hot. They're all part of the weekend event. 2 are headed to Garnett on the ATV ride, 1's on the cattle drive, and 2 are booked into Zentown. If Tate needs more than Easy's word, he can talk to them. She checked the time, drew a breath. All right. Easy, you see to the horses that just came back from the trail. Carol can transport the horses down to the center for the lesson coming up. Ben can take your guided ride.
We got another going out just about the time that one gets back.
I'll take it,
Chase said, without much enthusiasm.
If you're not finished with Tate, I'll take the ride.
You want that show about 3 o'clock, so...
Bodine shoved a hand through her hair, realized she'd forgotten her hat.
Here's what we do about that.
She laid it out, fast, complete, in a way that left Easy breathless and impressed. He couldn't for the life of him figure out how anybody thought so quick. And the pony rides, she continued, ticking down the list. I can call in the Grammys if we need more hands. I can clear my load if we need, take one of the afternoon rides. You do whatever the sheriff says you need to do. Easy scratched the side of his neck.
Yes, ma'am.
We're grateful, Easy. She gave his arm a pat. This is important. She debated whether to contact Callan, considered it while she helped saddle the next group of horses, decided if she'd been left hobbling around and tending to a beloved horse and he didn't tell her right away, she'd skin his ass. Before she could, Tate pulled up. She made her way back as he headed to Easy.
Bodine? Easy?
You got here quick, Bodine commented.
I was down on Black Angus Road with Curtis. You know Curtis Bowie?
Sure.
He's down there now, taking some pictures. So, Easy, let's just start here. How about you tell me what this ATV you saw looked like?
Okay, sure. Wasn't one of ours anyways. It was smaller, one of them sporty ones like, done up in camo paint. I didn't pay much more mind than that.
Tate nodded. Though he wore dark glasses that shielded his eyes, Bodine read resignation in his body language.
Bodine, you got a private place nearby where Easy and I can talk?
I'll take you down to the back office in the BAC.
That'll do.
As they walked, he glanced over at her.
The group Easy here was leading. They're all here?
Yes. Two are in Zentown and should be finished there in about a half hour. The others won't be back until afternoon, but I can give you their basic locations if you need.
I'll let you know. How about you text me their names to start?
I'll do that right away. She led the way in, skirted around the desk, the staff, the guests, and into the little office. Anything I can get you? While Tate shook his head, Bodine studied Easy. He looked like a kid called to the principal's office. You want a Coke, Easy?
I sure wouldn't mind one. Throat's feeling pretty dry right now.
I'm going to get you a couple of Cokes, then get out of your way. She gave Matt at the desk a look that said, don't ask. She got the Cokes from the vending machine, delivered them, shut the door, and got out before anyone could corner her with questions. She shouldn't take the time, she told herself. She didn't have the time. But she got into the resort car and took the shortest route to the ranch. She went straight to the stables, grateful everyone was too busy to get in her way. Sundown stood in his stall, looking unhappy. He perked up when he saw her, poked his head out as far as it could reach. Where's your guy, huh? Is he as bored as you are? She heard noises. Scraping. Jingling. Glanced around. He's back there? I'll go take a look. When she reached the tack room, she saw Callan gathering up bridles, cinches, head collars. He looked as bored as his horse. Aren't you supposed to stay off that leg?
It's healing up, and I'm getting off it again in a minute. I can work on some tack, but if I work back here, Sundown's going to sulk.
He's already sulking.
See?
All right, I'll give you a hand. We'll set up a workstation. You ought to leave his door open if you're going to be right there. It'll make him feel less confined.
Good idea. What are you doing back here?
We'll get to that in a minute. Together, they dragged out a small table, a taller stool, a bucket of water, cloths, sponges, brushes, oils. What did Bickers say?
Healing clean. She doesn't want a saddle or anybody up on him for at least another week, and not until she clears it. But I can take him out, walk him around some. Already did. I got her list of do's and don'ts, and she'll come by again tomorrow.
How about the two-legged stud? At least that got a fleeting smile out of him.
Pretty much the same as Sundown. I can go back to work Monday, maybe tomorrow for a few hours. She expects me not to be stupid and make her regret clearing that, and agreeing I don't need a people doctor. Now, did you come back just to see if we were being stupid?
No. Go on and sit down. You were limping more on that last haul.
Tate's over at the BAC talking to Easy.
Easy? About what?
About seeing Clintock riding his ATV yesterday, about an hour before you and Sundown were shot. Riding along Bear Paw.
Is that so?
He said it slowly, coolly, but his eyes flashed hot blue under the storm gray.
How did Easy know it was Clintock?
Staying steady, Bodine thought. For now. He recognized him. Goggles, no helmet. And the sheriff asked him to describe the ATV. I don't know Clintock's ATV, but I bet the sheriff does. Smaller than what we use, and a camo design. Easy was leading a trail ride. The guests saw him, too. And Tate, I expect, will talk to them, do the corroboration.
Looks like I owe Easy more than a beer, Callan said, and began to take a bridle apart for cleaning.
Curtis, that would be Deputy Curtis Bowie, you might remember him, is taking pictures where it happened. I can't say, but I think I know Tate well enough to speculate he's already talked to Clintock and got a denial. But now there are witnesses who put Clintock on resort property and in an area that leads up to where it makes good sense for sniping down on a horse and rider on Black Angus. Nodding, as if they discussed casual dinner plans, Callan hung the bridle from a hook, began cleaning it with a clean, damp cloth.
It might be enough.
I'd put money it's enough for Tate to fire him, and I hope it's enough to arrest him. I can say, because I know you well enough, if he's not behind bars, you'll handle him yourself. Callan said nothing, just kept cleaning tack. I'm going to ask you for one thing. Just one.
I can try to give it to you.
When you go to handle him, you tell me. I'll keep a beer cold for when you get back. Setting the cloth down, Callan looked up now.
I've got a powerful feeling for you, Bodine. Knocks me sideways about half the time.
It could be getting shot in the leg that does that.
Nope.
After moistening the saddle soap, wetting a sponge, he rubbed some into a light lather.
Want to go out to a fancy dinner?
She started to push back her hat, then remembered she wasn't wearing it. You're going from kicking the shit out of Clintock to fancy dinners?
I'm not much for them myself, but I find I want to see how I like having one with you.
As he had with the cloth, Callan patiently, thoroughly soaped the leather.
Get all dressed up, maybe order some snooty French wine.
His gaze flicked up to hers.
You want to do that?
I've never been much for fancy dinners either. But I wouldn't mind trying one with you. Once you're all the way healed up.
That's a deal. If. All right. When I decide to go after Clintock, I'll tell you.
Satisfied on all counts, Bodine squeezed his shoulder, gave Sundown a quick rub. I've got to get back. Do you want me to have somebody bring you a cold drink?
I've got an invitation to lunch at the big house. We're fine till then.
He kept cleaning tack when she left, methodically, while Sundown watched.
They might put him behind bars. They might put him behind them long enough to square it for us. If not, well, I'll square it for us.
He reached up, rubbed Sundown's cheek.
That's a promise.
Tate got his statements, got his pictures, and however heavy it sat on him, accepted his duty. He drove to Clintock's, the cabin tucked away on his family's ranch. Clintock's truck and ATV sat under an open shelter attached to the cabin, just as they'd been when Tate had gone by the night before. And just as he had the night before, Clintock stepped out of the cabin onto the narrow porch. He wore sweatpants, a sweatshirt ripped off at the elbows, and a skin of sweat. Tate concluded he'd been pumping iron for a while.